So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Will Anderson was doing a charity event yesterday. It's actually more of an awareness event. I think USAA was sponsoring it. It was at Firehouse 55 here. Just a bunch of, you know, like kind of some reminders of being safe driving out there during this time of year. They did a demo of the Jaws of Life. Like Will Anderson did a Jaws of Life demo yesterday, Seth. Which
was he the Jaws of Life?
He was. He,
did he rip apart like the Hulk ripping apart a car to save somebody?
If I had to pick one Houston athlete to be that guy, it would probably be Danielle Hunter, but Will Anderson would not be far down the list, I would say.
You know, there's a little symmetry here because one guy that never would have been chosen to do this appearance would have been one Mario Williams. So for doing a PSA for safe driving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
For those of you who don't remember, he got filmed himself doing whatever speed it was in his Lamborghini. Yeah.
That was early on in the era of being able to film yourself doing things as well, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he was drafted in 2006. We didn't even have Twitter back then.
It was something. It was like he was in a car. Was it with a woman, too, who was kind of screaming for him to slow down, or am I conflating that with something else?
I don't remember.
He was going really, really fast in a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Which, to my response, is usually like, what did you expect this person to do with a Lamborghini?
Right, right.
Boy, this thing goes from 0 to 65 and no faster really well.
If Mario were doing an event like this, it would have been for the community service that he's working off of the speeding tickets that he got.
Right, yeah. He would have been wearing an orange jacket as he got out of the car to pick up garbage on the side of the road.
Exactly, exactly. Not that Mario was a bad person or anything. He did like to drive
fast.
No.
He was a young guy in a fast car. That's a poor choice.
Will Anderson asked at this event. We'll get to Will Anderson. He was on the NFL Network yesterday with Tom Pelissero as well. Was asked yesterday at this event, what do you think of the contracts, the extensions that your teammates have gotten, and do you think about that moving forward?
Seeing them take care of Derek Stingley Jr. and Danielle Hunter and Jalen Petrie, next year you'll be eligible for that. How much is you want to be a Texan long term?
Most definitely. I want to be here the rest of my career, honestly. Like, as long as I can be here, that's when I want to be here, man. And, you know, those guys, they deserve it. They work really hard. They put a lot of hard work into, you know, their craft, and you see it on Sunday, and I'm excited to be a part of the team.
Okay, Aaron Wilson with the question right there.
Has any athlete ever said, when asked going into his third season, hey, would you like to be here a long time? Has any athlete ever said, like, we'll see how it goes?
Probably. I mean, the Bengals
baseball players.
The Bengals do exist. So at some point, maybe somebody said it.
Baseball players are usually pretty open about it. You know, like, we'll see. Football players, it feels like they're all gung-ho right up until they announce that they're not attending mandatory minicamp.
Well, especially, right, exactly. And especially Will Anderson. I got to thinking about this when he said that, though. Like, two things. One, I'm thinking, all right, like, if I could pick one current Houston athlete to be here the rest of their career, they don't play for any other team ever again. Like, Will Anderson's pretty high up my list of that. I think most people, if you put it out to a poll, would say C.J. Stroud probably because of the position that he plays. You know, you found the quarterback. You don't want to lose the quarterback. But Will Anderson, for what he has been so far and what he could become on the defensive side of the ball, he's pretty high up the list for me. The other thing I got to thinking about, Seth, was I can't think of a single Texan who is off the top of my head, a prominent Texan. And by prominent, I don't even mean like Pro Bowler. I mean like Kareem Jackson, guy who was here forever, finished his career as a Texan, but went to Denver in between for a little bit, played for Buffalo last year, actually, so didn't finish his career as a Texan. Even the greatest ones, like, is there a full career Texan that you can think of?
I think you're the closest we've come, and depending on whether or not he ends up getting a job this year, is John Weeks.
He has a job. He signed with San Francisco.
No, I know, but he's not. But he hasn't played a game yet.
So, gotcha.
If he makes the team with the 49ers.
Yeah.
So John Weeks is currently on the 49ers roster. If John Weeks didn't make the roster,
he's the guy
for the 49ers, and he's got the best shot at being a lifer. as a Houston
He might be
Texan.
The only one. He's the only one I can think of that's even in the conversation. I mean, I thought of Weeks yesterday, but obviously, you know, we know he's
almost every Hall of Famer spends at least 1 year somewhere else.
Sure.
To the point where very, very few people even remember that Jerry Rice was on the Seahawks at a point in his career. The Raiders, they'll remember, but the Seahawks was a weird
very
one.
End. Yeah.
And there's a few guys, you know, Joe Montana goes a couple years with the Chiefs, all those guys, the longtime greats.
Brian Cushing. We just played audio from Brian Cushing yesterday.
Yeah.
There's your one career Texan that we can think of right now.
But he had kind of a shortened career because he was so injured.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea would be a guy that plays his entire career, never gets injured, plays like 15 years for the Texans. So,
right.
I think John Weeks is the only guy with a really long career that's still, depending on whether he ends up playing in a regular season. And I'm guessing he's going to make the team. So,
yeah, I don't think
they
created a big long snapper competition out there in San Francisco, probably.
They don't have the drama and the intrigue that we do here in Houston between two guys who I refuse to learn their names.
See, this will be fun because people are going to text in names, and I get to go, nope. Someone said Arian Foster. Nope. He was a Miami Dolphin. He was a Miami Dolphin for like 8 weeks.
And tore his Achilles.
And retired. He tore his Achilles here. And then he just up and retired on the Dolphins.
I thought he ended up getting that's right. He tore his Achilles versus the Dolphins.
Yes.
Here, and then he went to the Dolphins.
And then he went to the Dolphins, and then like halfway through that one season, he's like, nah.
Yeah, that's right.
Not for me anymore. So there you go. Yeah, text in. DeCushy,
this will be a fun. Yeah, and let me hear the suggestions that are. Yeah.
Yep, I will for sure. Chris Myers. Chris Myers started his career in Denver.
Yeah, so what are you talking about? I remember going against Chris Myers when we had a joint practice, and Tom Nalen, the center for the Broncos, was injured and not practicing, and I was kind of disappointed because I was looking forward to getting some really good work against Tom Nalen.
Yep.
Instead, I go against this bald rookie, and I'm like, whatever. Hey, rookie, slow down a little bit. You're kind of a pain in the ass. He was good.
And he turned out to be, a 10-year pro. Chris Myers didn't start his career as a Texan. Good guess, though. All right, so Cushing's the only one so far, Arian Foster, no. It felt like Eric Murray was a career-long Texan thanks to Easterby, somebody said. Eric Murray kind of made his own niche. Like, him getting here felt like an Easterby O'Brien thing, but him sticking around felt like, this guy's not as... He just got overpaid by Bill O'Brien. That's not his fault. You know, he stuck around for 4 or 5 years.
That was there were a few guys like that, like Brandon Harris. Remember, Brandon Harris was on the team far longer than you realize. All of a sudden you looked up and he'd been on the team without necessarily doing a whole lot for quite a few years.
Yeah. 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 Second round pick. That'll keep you around. Did Derek Newton have a long career? No. His career, but I think he ended up playing for the Saints. I don't think Newton ended up. Owen Daniels. No, Owen Daniels won a Super Bowl in Denver.
Come on.
Owen Daniels. I don't want to scare people away from making suggestions.
He did. He played one game. Derek Newton played one game for the Saints.
I thought he was a Saint for a little bit.
But he also, he wouldn't have qualified because he was only here 6 years.
Yeah. No. But I'm having trouble even coming up with guys who are like that.
If we cut it down to two or three seasons, there's going to be a boatload of guys that spent, Lonnie Valentine was a guy that was on the roster forever and never saw the field. He was on the team for like 4 years.
Didn't play a game. Yeah. Mr. Irrelevant. Steve Slayton. No, Steve Slayton left and went, I think to the Dolphins, actually, if I'm not mistaken. He was on a team after he left here. Someone suggesting Ed Reed. Okay. all right, we'll go back to some of these. Oh, Whitney Mercilus. Nope, Whitney Mercilus got let go and went to the Green Bay Packers. A very happy Whitney Mercilus. Yeah. These are good. Kevin Walter, no, left here and went to the Baltimore Ravens and actually was a Giant before he was a Texan. Chester Pitts, people are saying. No.
No.
He went to the Seattle Seahawks, Chester Pitts. Seth Payne, nope.
No.
Was a Jacksonville Jaguar.
In the great state of Florida.
This is a...
That drop was when I was
People
doing
only knew
a
the backstory.
I was doing a live read for a whiskey company, right?
Yes.
That had a distillery right here in the state of Florida.
Except it was Texas.
In the great state of Florida.
Right.
I
can't imagine why they took issue with that.
Florida.
That was a live read.
Well, actually, you have that account now. That was Yellow Rose, which is now
was it? No, I think it was Balcones or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, it was. That's right. It was Balcones.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I think it was Balcones. Ben Tate. No, he went to Cleveland after he left here. Yeah, no.
Alfred, Ben Tate wouldn't have qualified either because of just the length of his career.
Yeah, yeah. Alfred Blue. Now, Alfred Blue might have been just a Texan.
No, Alfred Blue went somewhere. Didn't he go to New Orleans? I think Alfred Blue went to New Orleans.
Did he? Okay.
And because I remember, I think he did some good stuff on special teams in New Orleans.
Okay, gotcha. Amobi Okoye. No, he went to the Cowboys after he
I might. You know what? I might be wrong on that. No, I think Alfred Blue was just Houston, but it was only 5 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. But that, but honestly, we're having trouble finding guys like that through this exercise.
Yeah, even a 5-year career.
Yeah. People clearly jumping in to the conversation, getting into their car. Someone says, what about John Weeks?
No.
We covered that. No, we covered that.
He's with the 49ers for now, unless he somehow doesn't play this year.
For now.
John Weeks is, as far as we can tell, off the top of our domes, we got to say a decade plus without playing only for the Texans.
Oh, wow. The decade's a lot, dude. I would say.
All right, 8 years. Let's say 8 years plus. Only playing for the Texans.
I mean, send in your suggestions, but yeah, that'll be the criteria. All right. Here's more from Will Anderson. Will Anderson, this is on the NFL Network. Is there anything that you're honing in on here in year three?
Most definitely. You know, I talk about it all the time and, you know, just talking to the rookies and talking to other, you know, my coach, he's helped me. It's really just about enjoying your process and how much better can you be at your process. And for me is how much greater can I be at my process? How much can I be consistent with doing my process day in and day out? And that just comes from how my stance looks, how my get off looks, how my arms are, how am I using my hands, how am I shedding off blocks. So like just consistently doing my process the right way to keep building and getting better game in and game out.
You know, the other day I went through and I actually rewatched the interview that J.J. Watt did with Will Anderson last year. I think it was headed into the playoffs. It was during the playoffs because J.J. had brought up the fact that Rex Ryan had said that it was a bye week for the Chargers. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
But Will, in talking about Danielle Hunter, said he chops wood every day. Like he's always grabbing me and say, hey, let's work on our hands right here or what have you. And I think Danielle is just such a great influence on young defensive linemen, young players, because that part of it, the working on something constantly, stacking up all of those small little improvements day after day, where you can't get too obsessed with how much you want to improve this year or over the next 2 or 3 years. It's just a matter of having a process of always learning, always getting better, always refining. And there's a lot of, like, Will is a classic young guy that has a boatload of energy and he's going to go in whichever direction you tell him to. But some guys just, like, when they're rookies, they don't really necessarily understand how you can do all that and, like, how much the little stuff matters. So, Will, you just need to have good role models for him, and he's going to emulate those role models and really see exactly what it takes to become as technically skilled as Danielle Hunter, because he's freakishly technically skilled.
I'm glad you brought that up, because in the next question here, he mentions Danielle at the very end, and the big thing I think about with Danielle that we've heard Will Anderson mention multiple times about how the two kind of play off of each other, not only on the field but behind the scenes as well. The actual question was, do you have a sack total in mind for this coming season?
It's double digits. It doesn't matter what double digit number, it's just double digits, man. And, you know, I've been able just to take it one game at a time and take it one play at a time. And I have to give a huge shout out to Danielle, man. He's been a double digit guy, sack guy since he's been in the league. And to see his process and to see, you know, he doesn't worry about those things. He's just like, bro, I'm just going out there and playing. I think that's been able to help me and calm me down. And, you know, I always tell people, we're like fire and ice. When I look at Danielle, my fire just whoops on, because he just brings that presence. Like, it's going to be okay, bro. You're going to get it. So just lucky to have him and blessed to have him on the team.
That might be the part for Will Anderson, because I hear him mention it. It feels like anytime Danielle Hunter gets brought up, Will Anderson brings up just the calming effect that he's had on him. You know, just kind of being able to – Will Anderson's still a maniac on the field, but being able to know when and how to dial it back appropriately.
Especially – You hate to hear a guy put a specific number up for how many sacks he wants to have, because as every stat head will tell you these days, sacks are overrated. And yes, they are overrated, but they still do matter. But because generally, if you try to use an individual season sack number, there's a whole lot of variables and random chance and luck that goes into that. But the really good pass rushers tend to be in the double digits every year. If you're doing everything else right, whether you get 20 or whether you get 15, sometimes that's just a matter of how good of a defense are you on, how good is the offense on the other side of you, all of those other things, like 3 or 4, you know, hits that could have been sacks. So just the long-term approach of I got to be a guy that's a double-digit sack guy every year, that takes care of itself if you're doing a whole lot of other stuff right. When guys start chasing sacks, those are guys that are like abdicating their run responsibilities and not doing all the other important stuff right.
But the 30,000-foot narrative on pass rushers, Seth, is centered around double-digit sacks. We heard it about Clowney for years, you know what
I mean?
Like that's like
Well, it does. Yeah, no, it's like people get way too obsessed with like saying that sacks don't matter at all. Well, they do. The really good pass rushers, the genuinely great pass rushers are getting double-digit sacks.
Right.
It's just in any given year, you can't it means something that Clowney very rarely gets double-digit sacks.
That's
he doesn't
what I mean.
Do a great job of finishing at the top of his rush.
Yep.
Like there's a reason behind that.
Yep.
If you're getting double-digit sacks every year, year after year after year, you're a really good passer.
That's what I mean. It feels like that double-digit sack is just this label that you, if you get a label, say it's a double-digit sack guy, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of which, you know who doesn't necessarily think much of sacks as we shift gears here in the 7 o'clock hour, still talking a little football? The Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, Trey Hendrickson led the league in sacks last year, and apparently they're completely ghosting him right now.
Yeah, I guess that's where I've been kind of hard on Trey Hendrickson because my feeling is, okay, if you sign a veteran free agency contract, it is what it is, and maybe they end up rewarding you to try to retain you after your stint, but like, just don't be a wimp. Don't be a baby about it, okay?
Yeah.
The thing about the Bengals is, though, that they did apparently tell him they'd take care of him. Which, again, I say, if you're a veteran player and you believe a team when they say, hey, we'll take care of you, that's on you. You're a sucker. Don't believe them. Just don't believe them. But I guess it sounds like there's been zero follow-up discussion on it.
Yeah.
They're not communicating with him at all, and that's where he's put out.
Yep. So Trey Hendrickson was actually at OTAs yesterday for the Bengals. He showed up yesterday at voluntary OTAs. Well, he talked to the media for over 20 minutes yesterday.
Because he wasn't participating.
Right.
He's sitting there wearing a golf shirt on the sideline talking about how he's not going to participate in this thing that's going on right behind us.
Well, it almost felt like he wanted an audience. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I know if I show up here, everybody that covers the Bengals will be there. And so he did a 20-minute media session, like, standing out on the field. You're right. It was a somewhat bizarre scene for what is honestly kind of a bizarre situation that an NFL team is kind of conducting their business this way. But again, it is the Bengals. Trey Hendrickson was asked, do you still want to be a Bengal?
At this point, do you want to be a Cincinnati Bengal?
Wow, that's a tough question too, because you try not to let the business become personal. I think over the last week or so, it's become personal, unfortunately. You know, and when there's a lack of communication in any relationship, if it's business or a personal relationship, lack of communication leads to animosity. And that leaves my narrative only to me with no clear direction. So the lack of direction, the lack of communication is leading to things that are allowing me to think about what's going to happen more than how great they have treated me over the last 4 years.
Okay.
Sounds like a marriage counseling session.
Big time, dude. Yes.
As I've seen them on television and such, I've never been in one myself, everybody. Just settle down, ladies. I'm not available. No,
I have.
Will I be ever.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Not in this marriage.
Is there a point where the marriage counselor asks you, like, so Sean, do you even want to stay married or what? What's the deal here?
There's a point I don't know how it is for everybody, but there's a point where you pull the plug on the counseling. Like, yeah, this just isn't going to take, I don't think, here. Yeah, good effort.
Does the counselor get upset? Like, or do they feel like they failed you?
I don't know. I would imagine it's like.
Did you consider that guy? You see, that's why it didn't work out with your marriage. You didn't even consider the feelings of the marriage counselor.
No, that's why I'm a better person now. I consider other people's feelings like marriage counselors. No, you're absolutely right.
I interrupted you.
I don't remember. I just couldn't wait to get out of those sessions. Yeah, I have, honestly.
I'm sorry I brought it up, Seth.
Exactly.
I really don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. So So, but you're absolutely right. The analogy is perfect. Like, this is, okay, you're not communicating with me. What's going on?
Sean,
you're not returning my calls.
I cannot tell you how many issues there are on NFL teams just because it's a bunch of men. Because we don't do a good job of communicating our feelings. And there are so many times that whether it's between players or from players to front office where I felt like, man, like they really just need a counselor. They need some kind of a therapist to just sit down and have guys talk through some of these issues.
Yeah.
And instead players or front office executives ever end up using some sketchy reporter as their therapist. I've got a problem. So I'm going to go tell Ian Rappaport about it.
Did you ever watch the show Billions with Daniel Day-Lewis?
No, or not Daniel Day-Lewis. I know they had like a psychologist to help them work on their blind spots and all that.
Yeah,
right?
Damian Lewis, not Daniel Day-Lewis. Damian Lewis, the redheaded guy that was in Homeland. Yeah, yeah, exactly. They had a counselor played by Maggie Siff, I think, right? That helped solve problems in this hedge fund office between people.
Well, that's the whole thing with traders and just investors. Warren Buffett has a bunch of quotes out there about how it's a lot more about psychology than it is IQ.
Yeah.
That you don't have to have a genius level IQ. It's more about understanding your own weaknesses and your blind spots and all of that.
Yep.
I would say, in any organization, there are a whole lot of psychological blind spots that screw things up. If there was one person that could just sit these two people down and have a chat with them, not like in an HR type of way, but just, hey,
human,
what's bothering you? Let's talk about it. Yeah.
And that's you're right. These two parties could use this. This Hendricks thing was wild yesterday. He started talking about unprovoked and provoked shark attacks.
I'm a Floridian. So there's unprovoked shark attacks and there's provoked shark attacks. And the comments that are being made, right, whatever happened at the combine, whatever happened at the owners' meetings, and the text I got yesterday, this is not something where I'm just twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh, how can I get the next one up? Most of the teammates will agree. I don't spare my opinions. I kind of stay out of the media for that reason because I am an emotional player, and after a loss, it's a lot harder to talk than after a win, especially in the circumstances that we had last season. So I carry it with a tremendous amount of respect, but these things are provoked. I would love to say to sit quiet is a good strategy. It is clearly not.
Okay, so this would be my questions. Zach Taylor texted him, telling him that he'd be fined if he didn't come to minicamp.
Right.
I got it kind of like in the same vein as Aaron Rodgers. I have to know, did Zach Taylor first try to call him or try to have a sit-down conversation or what have you? Because if all he did was send out a threatening text, that's bad communication. They got to get in with the marriage counselor first and have without knowing everything that goes back into all of it, I would say to the player, all right, if you've turned down opportunities to talk face to face, but now you're telling the media your side of it, that's dirty pool, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bengals being what they are, and Zach Taylor just kind of being a egg profile, I don't even know what to think of Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
He's never struck me as an actual NFL head coach. I have no idea what to think in this other than it's a mess.
Yeah, I would need to read the text. Honestly, even if it were a text like, "Hey man, I know that you're." I know you've got issues with the front office right now. Like, at least acknowledging that there's a glitch between the front office and Trey Hendrickson. But if it was a text like, reminder, in all caps, minicamp is June 13th. You must be there or you will be fined.
I'll back Trey Hendrickson if the Bengals have genuinely been impossible to talk to. If he hasn't been able to have a conversation or anything, then now, so he's saying, okay, I'm going to step it up a notch. I'm going to talk to the media about it. I would back him there. But as a player, if your recourse when you have an issue is to go squawk to the media about it, I'm naturally skeptical of that.
Yep.
Like, dude, keep this crap in-house until you feel so. And maybe that is a situation. Maybe they have just been completely stonewalling him.
Yeah. Well, and he clearly feels it's at a breaking point. You're right. Like, we don't know what the Bengals side of it is. It is the wildest thing about this. And it's the wildest thing about this. Two things. One, to listen to that audio, just 8 minutes after playing Will Anderson, like saying, I want to be a Texan for life and this is the greatest place ever. And I think a lot of people that play for the Texans feel that way right now. especially the really good players, because the Texans have shown that they will take care of you if you're a really good football player. They've demonstrated that. The other thing, like, that's wild about this, this is the guy who led the league in sacks last year. Like, this isn't a guy who's a declining player who wants to finish his career as a Bengal, wants to be overpaid a little bit, maybe out of respect for what he's done. This is a guy who you could argue was the best at what he did last year in the league.
This is not going to surprise you, Sean. Of the two teams that I know of, there might be more, but these two I know for a fact, who don't have a real GM or an actual GM. It's the Bengals and, who would you guess?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys, yeah. And they both handle stuff in a slipshod fashion.
Slipshod.
Duke Tobin's the director of player personnel, and he acts as the GM, basically, except the owner. The owner is the GM. And these are the kinds of things that happen when you don't have people kind of just directing, the overseeing everything and directing the whole show.
Totally, totally. Now, Hendrickson's saying he's not going to play this season on his current deal, which I think would be a bad move. I mean, your player's pushing 30 now. Because if he doesn't play, that doesn't mean the contract just goes away at the end. Like, the Bengals still own his rights.
They still have his rights.
Yeah, the contract tolls forward.
The Bengals seem like the type of team that might just keep kicking it down the road out of spite or something.
Yeah, because they don't have to pay him.
Yep. You know? Yeah.
They don't have to pay him if he's not playing. He's got to provide services. Is there any way, text message, okay, is there any way the Texans could pick up Hendrickson? Yeah, if they wanted to trade for him and pay him, they could pick him up. They've already got two defensive ends. One is very highly paid and very good in Danielle Hunter. Yeah. The other is about to get highly paid and is very good in Will Anderson. That would be a bad use of resources.
If they're going to spend extra money on top of what they're already spending, I would, like, a guy like Brandon Scherff, I believe, is still out there. A guard like Brandon Scherff. Somebody asked me the other day, why not Brandon Scherff already for the Texans? I think there's probably, you've got Laken Tomlinson, who was signed as an aging veteran interior offensive lineman, and he's about the same. He allowed more sacks than Brandon Scherff did last year, but I would put him about the same bucket as type of offensive lineman. The biggest difference there is that Laken Tomlinson has been remarkably healthy in his career. Brandon Scherff's been healthy the last few years, but he's also had quite a few seasons where he had notable injuries. So I think when you're looking at a guy in your 30s, they probably just don't want to. They probably said, all right, we need at least one veteran guy to bring in here. He's got some familiarity with D'Amico.
Yes.
And they don't necessarily want to overload on aging interior offensive line type guys.
I would say any free agent that's still sitting out there right now, I mean, that's a good summary on Scherff. I think any free agent that's still sitting out there right now, chances are it's one of two things. Either they have a dollar amount in mind that the rest of the league doesn't have in mind for them. Like, Scherff might think he's worth X. Nobody's paying him that. The other thing, too, at this stage, as you start to watch guys toiling in the heat at OTAs and minicamp, is guys may be like, nah, I can sign in the middle of June when we've got vacation going on, you know?
You know, yeah, and Scherff could totally be a guy that's thinking, all right, I'm getting a bunch of these offers for 1 year, $6, $7 million, whatever it might be. I'm just going to wait and see who gets injured.
Yes.
Or who realizes that their rookie is a bust or something, or is struggling, isn't ready to start.
Yeah.
So choose your situation.
That's right. Doesn't Trey Hendrickson have one more year on his contract? He does. He does. My advice would be play it out, you know?
Yeah.
Play it out and go somewhere else next year. Now, knowing the Bengals, they probably hit him with the franchise tag or something like that. But
I don't have sympathy for anybody in this situation. I'm not – I get guys agitating for new contracts, and if you've got leverage and you can get one, then go for it.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm pulling for him or anything.
Right.
I'm more in the vein of when you sign a veteran free agency deal, look, you chose that, man.
Dude.
All right? Like, you chose that and you did it with the Bengals.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
Right.
It just
You got into bed with a dog with fleas, and you're like, where did all these fleas come from? You know?
Right. I mean, if you're like, if he's saying, look, hey, I led the league in sacks last year. Yeah. I was like, all right, well, it's a shame he didn't sign a 2-year contract.
Right.
Seems to me like you took as much money as you could get to go to the Bengals on a 3-year deal.
Amen. Amen. Text message. Mario Williams' double-digit sack years always felt a little empty. Maybe so, but it got him paid. That's my point. The double-digit sack label does matter to some people.
I always had a hard time with Mario because there's a part of it where he wasn't a pure pass rusher the way Danielle Hunter is, where Mario did a really good job using his length. So it wasn't for him, it wasn't as much about destroying an offensive tackle. It was that he was a good enough pass rusher in the one-on-one battle, but then he was really good at finishing. He'd use those long arms to reach in and force a fumble, or he'd be able to get a hold of the quarterback. And teams had to account of, and I could imagine as an offensive coordinator, it was frustrating because I think teams felt like, all right, you know what? I think our offensive tackle can handle this guy. We don't need to double team Mario. But if you didn't double team him, your offensive tackle could do a pretty good job. But if Mario got anywhere close, he had that incredibly long reach of his and his long legs would get the quarterback down.
Yeah, he was the anti-Clowney in that respect. You know, like
So there aren't as many highlights of Mario Williams just, you know, destroying an offensive tackle.
Yep.
But he got the job done.
Yes.
And teams had to figure out how to account for him because he just flat out made life hard for offenses.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Wednesday. The NBA draft lottery was on Monday, a couple days ago, and the big talk yesterday. People still thinking the NBA draft lottery is rigged. It's been kind of fun to see the people like Nick Wright coming out and just basically saying yesterday, like, if you think it's rigged, you're dumb. He just said you're dumb. He said, you know what happens when there's a 1.8% chance of something happening? It happens 1.8% of the time.
Right. Yeah. If you run the lottery 50 times, one of those times it's probably going to happen, or there's a good chance that it'll happen.
Well,
people point out the various times that a guy's been traded away off of a team. A good player is traded off of a team, and then that team gets the number one overall pick.
It's happened a lot.
Okay, but you got to point out all the times that a really good player gets traded, and that team doesn't get the number one overall pick.
Correct.
And it far outweighs these specific scenarios like the Mavericks.
No doubt. But so Chris Mannix, I believe of SI, maybe The Athletic now. I think Chris Mannix might be The Athletic now. At any rate, NBA writer, does a great job. He was on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and apparently both of these guys got to witness the lottery this year. So if you're one of the 91% that voted in Will Kunkel's poll, Will Kunkel, Fox 26, put up a poll after the lottery asking people if they thought it was rigged. 91% of the people who answered that poll said, yes, the lottery on Monday night was rigged for the Mavericks to win Cooper Flagg. Does this firsthand account of what went on in the lottery room from Chris Mannix move you at all off of your stance?
It is impossible to rig the NBA draft lottery. The NBA goes to such great pains to ensure that there is no appearance of impropriety. The guy that is telling the ping pong ball selector when to draw from the bucket, he has his back turned to the whole proceeding. Like, he is standing there with his back to the drawing and has a stopwatch in his hand. And every 10 seconds, he will raise his hand, and that's when a ball is drawn. It would take a Houdini-esque act to be able to rig the NBA draft lottery. There's nothing suspect about what the lottery is.
Okay, so Chris Mannix standing on the table for the NBA lottery.
And I honestly agree with Chris Mannix, and you know, I believe they use Ernst & Young to do it independently.
It's Ernst & Young, yes.
Yeah. But the problem is the NBA opens this up to speculation, partly because they weirdly think that they need to not film or show the process because that's going to lead to more speculation. Never in my life, I just do not understand that psychology. When in your life have you ever had anybody say, no, we don't want transparency here, but don't worry, there's nothing to worry about. And then you've thought, okay, well, then why don't you just show me? Oh, there's just, you just can't watch. You can't watch. And people are going to, they're going to speculate. I think the reason that it's not on TV is that it is actually kind of a complex process.
It's
not a single ping pong ball. It's like four balls selected that gives them a numerical value and all. It's kind of drawn out. I don't know. People are going to speculate.
But here's the thing. Why give people the choice? Like,
Have it on a live stream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It would be a horrible disaster if you put that process. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the first one people would probably watch just because, like, all right, well, this is what we've been missing all these years. They haven't shown us. So you're right. It would be a disaster on regular television trying to compete for ratings with other things. But yeah, put it on a live stream on NBA.com. If you want to go watch it, go watch it. Here it is, you know, an alternate stream. I'm with you on that. Mike Greenberg yesterday on GetUp He must have had a separate feed into our show, because we, as you pointed out on Twitter yesterday, Seth, you and I fixed the NFL yesterday on
That's
the
right.
show.
Yeah. Don't worry, everybody. It's not dying.
It's not dying.
Every now and then I can tell on the text line that somebody on cable news said something about how the NFL is dying
right.
because like the ratings were down that week or something.
Yeah.
So rest assured, it's not dying.
It's not dying. And
because
it helped,
Sean and I have saved it.
We saved it. We posed the question yesterday, hey, what if the NFL had a lottery for their draft? And we workshopped the hell out of that thing and came up with a good solution. And now in swoops Mike Greenberg stealing our idea.
Tanking is a scourge. Tanking is a disgrace. Tanking runs contrary to literally everything sports is designed to be. Incentivizing losing is the worst mistake any sport mm-hmm. can possibly make, any sports league can make. And as a result, I think it is great news. People saying, oh, this isn't working because the worst teams aren't getting the pick. Shut up. That's exactly the wrong way to look at it. This way, win games. Go out there and win games and see what happens. And you know what should happen? The NFL should add this?
Yes. Yes.
Every
yes.
sport
Agreed.
Should add this.
Yes.
The lottery is a brilliant idea. I would absolutely be in favor of the NFL going to some sort of draft lottery so you stop with the tanking, which is the worst thing in sports.
I don't think the NFL has a tanking problem. I just think a lottery for the draft in the NFL would be fun as hell, especially if we did it the way we landed on it at the end of that segment yesterday, Seth, which was, hey, do it just a few weeks out before the draft. So everybody's doing all their prep for the draft and the combine and free agency without
yes.
knowing what the draft order looks like among the non-playoff teams.
Yes.
Chaos.
Yeah. I don't honestly care whether they, like, there's no philosophical part of me that needs a lottery or anything, but just for the sheer chaos
yeah.
that it would create,
yeah.
100% I
yes.
would like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, now this is interesting. Reggie Atatula texts me and says, the NBA does film the process. They just show it after the TV broadcast. It's on all their digital platforms. You can watch it in full. Reggie, to nobody's surprise, actually did watch it. So, and I say that, Reggie, I know you're still listening. I say it lovingly. You love the debt.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
The devil is in the details, and Reggie loves the details of this stuff. So Reggie actually watched it. Okay, which makes all you conspiracy theorists even dumber when it comes to the NBA. If they're showing you the process of the ping pong balls coming out of the chute, unless you feel like the ping pong balls themselves are somehow doctored, which is you
yeah.
jokingly pointed out yesterday, maybe some of them have magnets on them. The
yes.
ping pong balls.
Yes, that is how they could
like,
do
oh,
it.
Like,
no, there's ways
there's
you
like
could do it.
There's like 10 people that think you're serious right now.
That's, no, I know. No, like I just sometimes when I hear the counter arguments where, you know, like I have to agree that, yes, there are ways they could do it. Just because you're watching and everything doesn't mean that there's not ways that they couldn't do it.
Yep.
You guys, if you're creative enough, you can come up with anything, Sean. I've been to prison. You know, the things a man thinks and comes up with. When you got nothing but time on your hands,
That's
Sean.
True. Yeah, no.
You know?
You think very spatially.
Dumbest thing they ever did was put me in solitary 24 hours a day thinking about how I was going to get out of that joint.
And that's when I invented the food processor. Yes.
yeah.
Just came up with several inventions while I was in solitary. All right. Payne and Pendergast.
One of our texters is saying that there's three times that the team with 1.8% odds has won the number one overall.
Oh,
pick.
I think it's more than that. I think it's more. Yeah, like the year that the Orlando Magic, the year after they got Shaq, won the lottery,
yeah.
and they had a 1 in 66 chance of winning the lottery that year. They got the pick that turned mm-hmm. into Chris Webber, who got traded,
yeah.
turned into Penny Hardaway eventually. But yeah, no, it's happened a few times. It's happened a few times.
That somebody with sub 2%?
Yeah, has like very okay, minuscule well. Percent. Yeah, it's happened a few times.
Hmm.
It's happened. It's happened. No, but it's. Yeah, see?
No. Because the other. No, honestly, the other part, because I didn't want to get into it when I said it the first time. Like, just because something has a 2% chance of happening, that doesn't mean that if you do something 50 times, it's going to happen once.
Of course
not. It could happen 7 times. It could happen 0 times.
Yeah.
It's just there's a range of potentialities.
People win.
It's still not.
People win parlays sometimes, you know? Mm. the people win parlays sometimes. Like, yeah. really.
I where I am with any conspiracy theories, you can't show me, you can't just tell me, hey, this could have happened because there's a motivation to do it.
Yeah.
I need to see actual evidence of it. And as of thus, the closest we've ever come, I think, somebody sent it to us yesterday, was Shaq when he says that David Stern had asked him whether he preferred warm weather or cold weather. And that as David Stern was coming out of the podium, he winked at Shaq because Shaq had said warm weather. Like, to me, I'm like, okay, well, that was just David Stern making small talk. And then after David Stern already knew what the selection was.
He may have known what it was.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Wednesday. Schedule release tonight, so looking forward to that. We'll talk about that a little later on in the show. Speaking of schedule release, college football released week one of at least the prominent games in week one. It's really funny how the NIL and transfer portal stuff, I don't know if the audience is feeling this way. I feel angst over it, but for me, I see what I saw yesterday, and it all just washes away. We'll talk about that coming up next. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So the schedule release is tonight for the NFL. Again, we apply the warning label. Be careful. Beware of fakies today. Beware of fake schedules coming out. It's not official until you see it from the NFL or the networks or the videos from the teams, which I'm very excited about. But college football dropped some of their week one schedule yesterday, the games that matter on week one. I guess a lot of these networks, Seth, are doing their upfronts this week where they're presenting to their advertisers. ESPN unveiled their new app that they're going to be using for people who've cut the cord but want all their ESPN content. Looks to be a little pricey to me.
It ends up being $45 if you want to include Hulu and Disney.
If you bundle everything, yeah, it's up in the 30s and 40s, yeah.
I'm already bundled with that and somehow I have like three different passwords for all three of those different servers. I get so they log me out and then I'm trying to log in with my Hulu password.
Yeah.
I hate it already. I already hated it. Now I hate it more, and I don't even know what the actual implications are of the new package.
Yeah. So they've been presenting, and part of the presentations have been, hey, here's week one of the college football season. And I think it's funny, like, we talk so much nowadays about college football, like the transfer portal. Oh, my God. It's like free agency, and players are moving around, and NIL is this big deal, and fans feel a certain kind of way about players getting paid all this money, not playing in bowl games. You know, you and I were talking earlier this week about, like, boy, if they expand the playoff, could we see guys just either hold out for the playoffs or just choose not to play in them altogether? Like, it's a very shaky time for college football, especially if you're in the older demographic where like 3 years ago was just a gigantic sea change with all this stuff. They're like, it is a different sport now than it was a few years ago. And yet, the ratings are still really good. And yet, when I get the tweet posted that these are the games in week one and these are the game times and these are the networks, I'm like, let's go. Don't care about the portal. Don't care about the NIL. I am just excited to find out what time Texas and Ohio State are going to be the first Saturday of the season on August 30th.
No, that is the biggest thing about college football is that it's lost some of its luster because of aside from realignment and the NIL transfer portal and everything else like that. It's still largely about the logos and the uniforms and the schools themselves and the alumni that the rivalries are less player driven within the SEC or within the Big 12 than they are just the vast history of all these teams.
That's okay. Realignment. That's, and I'll go through the schedule here in just a second, but you're bringing up realignment. Like you're 100% right. People talk about the greed with college football, and the ones who get pointed to the most now are the players, because they've now got the opportunity to be greedy, and it's not illegal in any way. You know, it's just it's their chance to go get paid. They can transfer without having to sit out a year and go get paid. To me, that's not ruining college sports. I mean, it is something that probably does need some guardrails and whatnot, just so that there's rules and etiquette to it. To me, the realignment stuff, which is the greed of the schools, that's the greed of the schools. That's not the greed of the players. The greed of the school. Realignment, to me, has destroyed a really important part of the fabric of college football, which is some degree of geographic integrity, you know, where you've got like geographic rivals. And then just the nonsensical stuff that it's done to, well, it's ruined some rivalries. It's eliminated some rivalries that we grew up with. But then just the nonsensical stuff that has a trickle down to all the other sports in college football, where USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington are playing a schedule where they're traveling to Rutgers in Maryland and Penn State for softball. You know,
that,
like
that's the part. It almost feels like there needs to be a separation between football and all the other sports.
100%.
So to where, because you are like, and then the big time schools with the big time budgets. That, you know, Oregon's got the budget to send all their other lesser or minor sports
anywhere
off across the country or what have you.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the same for all those schools. And that's the part that rubs you the wrong way, or at least one of the things that rubs you the wrong way. There is a part of it, though, too, that you just got to also remember that, hey, man, like every generation goes through this. And a lot of the things that you and I think of is like, this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
Like, no, they actually started that. They actually started that when we were 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've known.
Yeah.
So kids that are in their 20s right now in college, and the people that advertisers are trying to really get their attention and everything. Yeah. It's not nearly as big a deal to them.
No.
If anything, it's just exciting.
Yeah.
Because the boomers are annoying them with all this talk.
Totally. I'm probably annoying people right now by even bringing that up. But that's just how I feel. The realignment thing, I think, is real. How about this? For the first three weekend night games, the first weekend of the college football season is Labor Day weekend. Saturday night, these are all on either ABC or ESPN. LSU at Clemson. So you get Brian Kelly and Dabo Sweeney. You get two really good quarterbacks in Neusmeyer and Klubnik. And it's at Clemson, too. So it's not one of these generic playing at the Georgia Dome games. They're playing it on a college campus. And these are two teams that are going to be in the top 10 probably this year, LSU and Clemson. That's fun on Saturday night. Notre Dame at Miami. The reprisal of Catholics versus Convicts, however many years later. They've played a few times since then. That's Sunday night, 6:30 on ABC. So Notre Dame,
yeah.
National.
Get the Pope out there for that one.
Hell, and this Pope would go.
Everything I read about the American Pope is that he's very much a citizen of the world. You know, he speaks 29 different languages, and he spent most of his time in Peru. Yeah,
he might be there.
He can't be concerned with Catholics versus convicts.
It's Notre Dame. You better. This isn't the White Sox in the World Series. You better be there, Pope Leo. And then, Seth, Monday, Labor Day night, TCU at North Carolina. We get the Bill Belichick college debut.
Possibly, if he's still coaching.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
At that point, if he doesn't exercise his option to get out.
The odds are out there, yeah.
I saw him on ESPN, and he looked like he was just plain old boring Belichick. He was asked one non-football question. Basically, the question was just an opportunity for him to give a no comment. It was asked in such a way. She basically said, like, so, this girlfriend stuff, what up? I don't want to talk about that. Okay.
Okay.
Who's UNC's biggest rivalry?
Yeah, exactly. How are you feeling about the Duke game? So we'll play some of that later. We've got some of that Belichick. But, man, I say all this to say, like, yeah, for all the angst we feel over college sports, all they got to do is throw some logos against each other on a Twitter graphic, and I'm like, yes, yeah. Get here, please.
And we knew that we've known for a long time that TCU was going to be opening up at North Carolina.
Yeah.
You didn't know that it was going to be on ESPN. This was more about the announcing the broadcast than anything else. That'll be fun. That's going to be – I'll tell you what. For all of the Jordan Hudson stuff, I'm watching Bill Belichick on ESPN kind of partly just because I'm waiting to see what – and if they're going to ask it, but he's talking about UNC the whole time.
Yeah.
And UNC's name is out there a whole lot. And probably there's a lot of people in the administration that don't like the way that it's being talked about. But Belichick is a story, and he's made more so of a story now with all of this stuff. Jordan Hudson might be playing six-dimensional chess.
How many dimensions of chess? That's what
I was like, hey, listen, Bill, just trust me on this. You need as much notoriety as possible, and I can deliver it.
Someone texted in, y'all's opinions this week are sucking. That's this week?
That was mostly about the draft lottery.
Yeah,
that was
probably
in the middle of our draft. I saw that one.
Yeah.
Somebody else brought up I don't want to get into the statistical probability part of everything. But, yeah, people, as we knew yesterday, our opinion about whether or not the draft lottery is rigged is going to be very unpopular this
week. Yeah, 91% of the people disagree with us, according to a Twitter poll. Yeah. All right, Astros question posed on Area 45 last night. This is a good one because we did this exercise last year with the Astros. When do we stop saying, hey, it's a long season for the Astros in a way that we're kind of giving them a break? We'll discuss that, and we'll give our guardrails on that one coming up next.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.